Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, the last few weeks, we've been talking about I can handle, and we've been talking about that we can handle the uncertainty, that we can handle the anxiety. But you know what I forgot to do? I was so excited about this series that I forgot to give you our working definition for handle it. What does it mean that you can handle it? This is our working definition. It means this: the ability to overcome challenges by successfully managing one's thoughts, emotions, or actions. So this is what we've been saying. Come on, you can handle uncertainty. You can overcome that challenge, whether that is the uncertainty of the world, whether that's uncertainty in your personal life. You can overcome that challenge. How? By successfully managing your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. It's the same way that you can overcome your anxiety, by managing your thoughts, your attitudes, your emotions, and your actions. And today, we are going to be talking about stress. How do we overcome stress? Come on, is there anybody that is dealing with stress right now? Come on, give me a hand wave in the chat right now. Come on, give me the little emoji, the man lifting up his hand. Come on, if you've dealt with stress, if you're dealing with stress, if you know you're going to deal with some stress in the future, come on, wave at me right now. I'm waving. Come on, there is nobody exempt from stress. We are all having to go through this thing called stress. And now you say, but what is stress? Oh, well, I'm so glad that you asked. Let me give you our definition that we're going to use today for stress. And it is this: a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. So I want you to take a look at this. So when we're talking about stress, where does stress come from? Stress comes from a challenge, and stress also might come from a demand. And that challenge or that demand, what it actually does is it puts a strain or tension on our lives. Now, you need to know that stress is not good or bad. Stress is just what we call this challenge and demand. When this hits our life and we feel the strain and we feel the tension, stress, it is neither good nor bad. It is actually neutral. What really matters is your perspective on stress. And that's what we're going to get into in the Word of God right here in Romans chapter 5. Now, in Romans chapter 5, if you look through the Bible, you're not going to find the word stress. Okay, it doesn't show up in the Bible, but the Bible does talk about stressful situations. It does talk about trouble. It does talk about trials. It does talk about adversity and difficulty. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 5. And starting in verse 3, it says, "Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures," come on, there it is, don't you see it? Our pressures, what's he talking about? That tension, he's talking about that strain, come on, that pressure we feel, it will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. I want you to know that you are never getting rid of stress. You are never going to be able to do away with the stress in your life. That's why this series is called I Can Handle It, not I Can Hammer It. Come on, I can handle it. You will never be able to hammer all of the stress out of your life. No, that's why we got to learn, how do I handle it? How do I navigate it? How do I manage it? How do I take care of my thoughts and my emotions and my actions in the midst of this tension and this strain that I am feeling in my life? Because you will never make stress go away, but you can make your thoughts go in a new way. I want you to see that. You will never have your stress just go away, but you can make your thoughts go in a new way. Now, here's a trap that we fall into sometimes. We say, oh, I just can't wait for this season of stress to be over. Like at the end of that season, stress goes away. Stress is never going to go away. Come on, the tension and the strain that we feel that come from the challenges and the demands of life, come on, that is never going to go away. There's always going to be a challenge in your life. There's always going to be a demand in your life. There's always going to be this feeling of tension and this feeling of strain and this feeling of stretching in our lives. That is never, ever going to go away. So the season of stress never ends. Now, some seasons might be more intense than others, but it's never going to come to an end. And here's a mistake. This is a mistake that I believe Christians make. Those who follow Jesus, those who believe in prayer, this is a mistake that we make, is that people only pray for their stress to go away and not practice for their stress to go in a different way. And I want you to see that. We make this mistake, and we are praying for our stress to go away. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't pray for your stress to go away. I'm not saying don't pray for supernatural peace and supernatural provision and for God to do. I'm not saying don't pray. No, you should pray, but don't just pray. You should also be practicing for your stress to go a different way. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. So just see that again. Temptation, testing, strain, tension, it's there. This is what we experience. And it says it's no different from what others experience. It's not uncommon. Come on, it's not only you facing temptation right now. You're not the only one facing difficulty and adversity right now. No, it's common. And then Paul writes this, and he says, and God is faithful. Come on, I think we just need to stop there for a moment. I think we need to have a little praise break. Come on, just clap your hands right there where you are. If you believe God is faithful, come on, give me a little clap emoji in the chat right now. Come on, God is faithful. God, he's with you. He sees you. He's for you. Come on, God is faithful. Even in the difficult seasons, even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not alone. God will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Why? Because God is faithful. The scripture says that when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Come on, that is who God is, and that should make you praise the Lord this morning. And God is faithful. I told you I was fired up. I told you I was fired up today. Come on, if I had hair, it would be on fire right now. That's how fired up I am to be bringing this message to you. And the scripture continues, and he says, and he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I want you to see this. It says when. Come on, do you see it right there? It says when you are tempted. It's not if you are tempted, you might be tempted. No, when you are tempted, you are going to feel the pressure. You are going to feel tension. You are going to feel these things in your life. And when you do, the scripture says, he will show you a way out. Now notice this. He doesn't show for you out. He shows you a way out. Come on, there's a big difference. He doesn't show for you out. No, he shows you a way out. Why? So that you can endure. What is he doing? He's doing it so that you can handle it. Come on, you can handle it. Philippians 4:13, it's what we started with today, talking about that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Come on, Christ strengthens you. He doesn't spoil you. He strengthens you. He doesn't spoil you. He's not going to pick you up and carry you out of every temptation. He's not going to pick you up and carry you out of every difficulty. He's not going to pick you up and carry you out of every temptation. No, he's going to show you the way out, and he's going to give you what you need so that you can endure it. But come on, he's not going to carry you out. He's expecting you to walk it out. Well, he's faithful to show you the way, but you got to move out of that temptation. The Bible says this in James chapter 1. says, you know that under pressure. Come on, there we see it again, right? You know that under pressure. Come on, you know that under that tension, under that strain, under that stress, under that challenge and that demand. Come on, there is pressure. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. Let what? What is it? What is it? The pressure. Let the pressure do its work. Let the strain do its work. Let the tension do its work so that you may become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You see, God will use the tension in your life to be the transformation of your life. Come on, I want to say that again. God will use the tension in your life for the transformation of your life. Isn't that what we read a moment ago in Romans chapter 5 when it says, patient endurance will refine your character? Come on, but here's the problem. Patient endurance is painful, but we know where there is no pain, there is no gain. The Bible just said in James chapter 1, what we just read, that testing of our faith, that pressure that puts our faith out there in the open, that is what causes us to become mature. It's what causes us to become complete, to be well-developed. But here's the problem. Testing means that it's tough. But we know where there is no fruit, there's no fight. Well, there's no fight, there's no fruit. If there's no fruit, then there hasn't been a fight. Come on, we've got to be willing to fight for the fruit in our lives. We got to be willing to endure the pain for our gain. So that means that we are going to have to endure some pressure and some difficulty and experience some strain and some tension in our life so that God can transform us in the midst of this tension. Now, think if we just break for a moment and we begin to break this down and we say, what are we reading about? We're reading about times of trouble. I don't know about you, but 2020, check. Moments of temptation. Come on, 2020, check. The testing of our faith, 2020, check, check, check. So if we are in this situation, come on, what do we need? We need some practical handles of how are we going to handle this stress that we are experiencing in our lives. Remember, stress is just this challenge or demand. It's the challenge or demand that we face. It's the tension or the strain that comes with that challenge or demand. Let me share with you today three things that stress will create in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you three today, but we're only going to talk about one. The other two we're actually going to come back to next week. So whenever we are dealing with stress, stress creates three things. The first thing that it creates is fear. All right, we're going to talk about fear next week. Stress will also create fatigue. We are also going to talk about that next week. But today, what we are going to focus on is frustration. Come on, has anybody felt frustration lately? Come on, we are talking about frustration. I don't know about you, but whenever I get stressed, frustration is one of the things that I begin to see in my life. Now, let me give you a definition for the word frustration. It is this: a common emotional response to opposition. Come on, I want you to know right there, it's common. If you get frustrated, it's common. It's a common emotional response to opposition. It's a common emotional response to the tension that we feel in our lives. But let me give you the second definition. An emotion that occurs in situations where a person is blocked from reaching a desired outcome. An emotion that occurs in situations where a person is blocked from reaching a desired outcome. Now, there are two ways that we can be blocked, okay? Two sources of frustration. Let me give you these two sources of frustration. The first source of frustration is internal. Now, I bet you can guess what the next one is. You got that right. It is external. Let me give you a little definition, okay, if you would, for internal frustration. What are we talking about when we talk about internal frustration? What we're talking about is the challenges in fulfilling personal goals or desires, whether dealing with real or perceived deficiencies. Come on, this is where we get in our own way, okay? We create the own frustrations in our lives. Now, I would like to call these internal frustration creation. Come on, internal frustration creation. Let me just give you three things that will create that internal frustration. And the first is an inferior declaration. An inferior declaration. What does that sound like? I can't. I can't handle it. I can't make that happen. I can't do that. Well, what else? I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not. That's an inferior declaration. How about I couldn't? I couldn't go through that. I couldn't make it through that. I couldn't handle that. These are all inferior declarations. And these inferior declarations create frustration in each and every one of us. But there's a second thing that we run into internally that creates frustration, and that is a superior perfection. When all you want is perfection, listen, that's going to lead you to frustration. When you are just after perfection in your life, you are going to live in frustration. Whenever you follow Jesus, following Jesus is not about perfection, it's about progression. This is how we define discipleship here at North Point Community Church. We say that discipleship is our process to progress. That's right, it's our process to progress, because perfection, if you're only after perfection, you're never going to arrive. And then guess what? You are going to live in frustration. You got to celebrate the progression in your life as your life begins to look more and more like God. But if you're after perfection, it will lead to frustration. I love this quote from Wayne Dyer, and the quote says this: needing to have things perfect is the surest way to immobilize yourself with frustration. Come on, just see that. Needing to have things perfect, it's the surest way to immobilize. It's the surest way to paralyze yourself with frustration. Frustration is a very real thing that we face internally. Okay, so we've got the inferior declaration, we've got the superior perfection, but then we also have the behavior competition. Say, what is the behavior competition? This is when we have competing goals that interfere with one another. This is whenever you say, hey, I want to get out of debt, but I also want those new shoes, right? These are goals that are competing against one another. For a Christian, it sounds like this: I want to live life God's way, but I also kind of want to live life my way. It's a competition. And so what happens is I want this and I do that, or I do this and I want that. And these two things create an internal frustration on the inside of me. But now there's not just internal frustration. There's also external frustration. Now, external frustration is defined as this: challenges in dealing with conditions that are outside of one's control. Now, internal frustrations, I am in complete control of my inferior declaration, of my superior perfection, of my behavior competition. I am in control of that. But external frustration, I have no control over. This is when people or things get in our way of our desired outcome. So let me give you a couple external frustration creations. Okay, well, how do we create this external frustration? I mean, how about daily life in 2020? Daily life in 2020, We are walking in external frustration creation. COVID-19, businesses closing down, phase one, phase two, mask wearing, restrictions, all the things that we are dealing with right now in just daily life in 2020 is creating external frustrations. But then there's another external frustration that I want to bring to your attention, and that is people. People can create frustration in our lives. Come on, you know that people will disappoint you. You know that people will be rude to you. You know people just get in your way. Come on, why are there so many cars on airline drive? I'm getting frustrated. Like, where are you all going? Come on, I have somewhere to go. Where do you think you're going, right? Come on, you're standing in line at Walmart. Why does everybody have to come to Walmart at 7 p.m. on Thursday night? You're standing in a long line, and people are creating frustration. Your boss moves up a deadline 2 weeks. It was going to be impossible to get to the old deadline. Now there's a new deadline, and there is an external frustration that comes from people. Now, I don't know about you. You're probably more godly. You're probably a little more holy than me, but I can tell you this. My kids can be an external frustration in my life. Just this past week, man, I was rocking Jake to sleep. Jake is now 14 months old, and I was rocking him to sleep for his nap time. And man, I was so hungry. And man, I had this desired outcome. I was going to go lay him down in the bed. I was going to go into the kitchen and make me my snack. And man, I'd been rocking him to sleep. He had been out for about 5 minutes, and I was about to that place where I was going to get up and go lay him down. And about that time, one of my kids, who I would like to remain nameless, but I feel like I need to tell you right now, Juju comes running into the living room. Hey, Dad, where is the... And Jake pops his head up, and he's like, oh, wow, that 5 minute nap was all I needed. Now I'm ready to go. And I was like, because I could taste the nachos. Come on, I knew what I was about to go make myself. I had this desired outcome of laying my son down and making myself a snack. And that plan was thwarted by people named Juju, who came and screamed in the living room and woke up my sleeping baby. Come on, there are external... Maybe you're being frustrated right now. Maybe there's some frustrations in your life. Maybe somebody in your home, one of your children. Maybe you're being frustrated right now by your spouse. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's just the people out in Bossier City who are getting in your way. I don't know, but external frustration is a very real thing. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across this term that I've never seen before. I've never heard it before. But man, it just makes sense. And it's called frustration tolerance. Frustration tolerance. And this actually really, really helped me. Let me give you this definition. It is one's ability to resist becoming frustrated. Come on now, just stop right there. It's one's ability to resist. Come on, you can resist becoming frustrated. Come on, it is possible. You can resist becoming frustrated. Frustration tolerance, one's ability to resist becoming frustrated when facing difficult tasks or challenging conditions. Come on, so whenever we're dealing with frustration tolerance, you would say there is a such thing as low frustration tolerance. Come on, that's me. That's me. I can get upset really quickly. I can get upset by really minute things in my life. Now, there is high frustration tolerance. Come on, that's not me. That's the people who are extremely patient. That's the people who are so understanding. Come on, that's not me. Now, weirdly enough, whenever we are dealing with like big issues that we may be facing in our country, facing in our world, even some big issues that we might be facing within our organization. Now, I have a very high frustration tolerance for these big things, but it's the small things that I have low frustration tolerance. It's the fact when somebody in my house leaves a drop of jelly or a little bit of honey on the counter, and I set something down in that said jelly or that said honey, and I go to pick it up, and I hear that sound, and you just know, oh, in that moment, come on, I feel myself transforming into the Incredible Hulk, and I just want to rip off my shirt. Who left this here? That's because I have a low ability to resist becoming frustrated. But can I tell you, this is something that I'm working on right now in my life. This message that I'm bringing to you right now, this message about frustration, I'm not just bringing you information right now. I'm bringing you personal revelation in my life. I'm bringing you something that I have struggled with. Now, I'm going to talk to you about fear, and I'm going to talk to you about fatigue next week and those things, but that's not how stress comes out in my life. I need you to understand, stress comes out as frustration in my life, so much so that this week, and wouldn't you know that it was also Juju, the one that came in and woke up my sleeping baby. But it was Juju as I was putting her to bed, as I do almost every night. I put my kids to bed. I pray over my kids. And I said, is there anything that you would like to tell Dad? Is there anything that you would like to for me to do different? And she said, you know what, Dad? She said, you've been getting real frustrated lately. Come on. Well, you know what? I've got an excuse. I've got a reason why I'm frustrated. Because we had come into contact, Destiny had come into contact with a positive COVID-19 case, and we were quarantined in our house until we got our test results back. That means I was 5-6 days quarantined in my house with my four kids, no way of escape whatsoever. I know I was feeling the tension. I was feeling that strain because four kids is a challenge. 9, 6, 3, and 1. That is a challenge. There is a demand that is put on you that was creating that stress in my life. And that stress was coming out in frustration. And Juju looked at me. She said, Dad, do you think you could be a little less frustrated? And I said, well, Juju, what do you mean? Tell me about that. Tell me. And she's like, you know, Dad, whenever you just go, oh, she said, could you just maybe not do that? Because that makes me feel bad. I don't like the way that makes me feel. And what she was saying is, she was saying, hey, Dad, you're letting your stress come out in frustration. You're letting your stress come out in frustration. So I'm talking to you today about something that has been a battle in my life, and it's something that I continue to battle in my life. But if we are going to overcome this challenge of stress, this challenge of frustration, if we are going to manage the thoughts and the emotions and the actions, let me give you some steps that we're going to have to do in order to do that. And here's the very first thing that we're going to have to do. We are going to have to recognize. We are going to have to recognize. Before we can see anything beneficial change in our lives, I've got to first recognize that stress is there. I've got to recognize that frustration is there. This is called awareness. This is called self-awareness. You see, whenever stress shows up in my life, I've already said, I know how it comes out. Very rarely does stress come out as fear in my life. Very rarely does stress come out in fatigue in my life. But stress always comes out in frustration. So the first step is for us to recognize what we have normalized. It's for us to recognize what we have normalized. Because you see, I can make it normal, as Juju said, whenever you go, ugh, that's become normal. That's become part of my response. That's become normalized in my life. I feel the tension and it comes out in frustration in my life, and it's become a normal part of my life. But now all of a sudden, God is using my 6-year-old daughter to point a finger at something and to say, hey, Dad, I want you to recognize what you're doing. It's the same thing that we talked about last week with uncertainty and anxiety. That uncertainty does not force you into anxiety. No, what does uncertainty do? It forces you into a choice. But you don't have to walk that bridge over to anxiety. You don't have to swim in the pool of anxiety. You don't have to play in the ways of worry. No, instead, you can make a different choice. But you will not be able to make a different choice when it comes to stress and frustration if you first don't recognize that it is there. After you recognize it, as I was once again reminded by my six-year-old this week that, hey, Dad, it's still there in your life. It's there. And I was like, ah, man, you know what? It is. And I know why, because I've been trapped in this house. And she's right. So I had to go back and say, okay, I know what to do because I've been in this fight for a long time. So I had to go back and put these things into practice over the last few days. Let me give you these steps right now. After you recognize, what do you need to do? After you recognize, the first thing that you have to do is you have to relax. You have to relax. Now, when we talk about relax, I'm not talking about your next vacation. Okay? You can't wait 8 weeks to relax. Okay, I'm not talking about even this next weekend, because you can't wait another 4 days to get to the weekend. I want to give you this definition of the word relax. It means to become less tense or anxious, but it also means this: to diminish the force of. Come on, I want you to see that. To diminish the force of. When you feel the strain and the tension, to relax means that you are going to diminish, you are going to decrease, you are going to do something that helps alleviate the force of that tension in your life. Now, let me just give you a couple things that you can do. The first thing that you can do is you can breathe, okay? You can breathe. This is something that you need to do as you are relaxing. You need to breathe. Studies have shown that the impact of deep breathing can have on the central nervous and the cardiovascular system. Come on, studies have proven this, that the impact that deep breathing can have in our lives. Man, and so much so, like, if you don't believe the studies, come on, surely you'll believe the Navy SEALs. I mean, if the Navy SEALs do it, then it's good enough for me, right? It's good enough for me. And so the Navy SEALs use deep breathing. They call it box breathing. It's 4 seconds in, 4 second hold, 4 seconds out, 4 second hold. And you just make a box. 4, 4, 4, 4. If you do that 4 times, now you've been deep breathing for a minute. You do that 8 times. Now you've been deep breathing for 2 minutes. And there's so much power in this breath. Why? Because what it does is it gets your mind off of whatever your mind was on, and it puts your mind on the breathing, and it helps you relax. Look what the Bible says in Job 33, verse 4. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Come on, as you pause to deep breathe, what you need to know is you just need to breathe it in. The Spirit of God made me, and the breath of God gives me life. Just focus it on God. The God, the Creator, He made me, and His Spirit is giving me life. And as you begin to do that breathing, you can put your mind and thoughts on God. But not just breathing. How about try this? How about try stretching? How about try stretching your muscles? Come on, just basic stretching, nothing fancy. You don't have to get a yoga membership or buy a yoga mat. Come on, you can just lean down and touch your toes. You can do some basic stretching. And what that does is, moving the body, it actually helps your mind. You know, when we think about the mind is what tells the body what to do. But whenever we stretch our body, we are helping our mind and our emotions think and feel more clear. And stretching, it helps alleviate the tension that we build up in our muscles. And this is what I love to do whenever I stretch. As I'm stretching, I know what I'm doing. As I'm stretching, I know that I'm helping my physical body, and I'm helping my soul. I'm helping my mind, my will, and my emotions. But not only that, I'm reminded that the stretching that is taking place in my spirit is also helping me. The tension that I'm feeling, Come on, that strain that I'm feeling, come on, it's just like a good stretch. The same way that stretching is helping my physical body, the stretching that I am feeling in my spirit is helping my spirit man make me who God created and desired for me to be. So as I'm stretching, I'm thinking about how good this season is that I'm in right now, how good these challenges that I'm facing are, because I know it's stretching me and it's making me who God desires for me to be. So you've got breathing, you've got stretching, but also, hey, take a walk outside. Just relax. Take a walk outside. Change your surroundings. It's amazing what happens when you just change your surroundings. Take a walk outside. Or how about dancing? Come on, do a little dance. Come on, get up and do a little dance. Get your body moved. Get your heart rate up a little bit. Your heart rate going up will help you relax because it'll get your mind off the tension. And if that doesn't work for you, then start dancing in front of a mirror. I promise you, you cannot watch yourself dance and not laugh at yourself a little bit. It'll put a smile on your face and it will change your demeanor. Another thing you can do to relax is just take a warm bath. When you change your body's temperature, these are things that you can do, very practical things that will help you relax. You know, you've heard the saying before, you know, stay calm and carry on, right? Stay calm and carry on. But I mean, you know, you got to get calm before you can stay calm. You got to get calm in order to be able to carry on. But getting calm just isn't enough. We can't stop right here. We can't just stop at relax. We can't just get calm. Now, we have to get calm first because it makes us, it allows us to make the next move the right move, because whenever you are tense, whenever you are tight, whenever you are holding on, come on, the next move you make is probably not going to be the right move. You got to relax. You got to relax. So what are you going to relax? What are you going to do to relax? Because it takes us to the next thing. After we relax, okay, what we realize is that we got to release. We got to release. We got to release. After we relax, we've got to release. Now, we understand, here I'm holding this marker right now, and I can't release this marker if I am squeezing my hand. I can't release it. This is why I have to relax. This is why it has to go in order. I've got to relax first, then I've got to begin to release. Because as I relax, now all of a sudden, I can release what is in my hand. Now, let's just go real quickly. Let's go back. Let's roll back the tape for a moment. Let's talk about some of these internal frustrations, right? The internal frustration. How about that internal frustration of the inferior declaration? The I can't, the I'm not, the I never will be able to. What do we have to do? We've got to relax so that we can do what? So that we can release that limitation. That's a lie. I can't. That is a lie, because the scripture says that you can. It is a lie to say, I'm not. But come on, the scripture says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. Everything you need, God put it in you to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your calling, to fulfill your destiny. God wired you that way. It is already in you. So to say I'm not, to say I can't, those are lies. And so what we have to do is release that limitation. How do we do that? We submit that feeling to the truth of God's word. We submit that feeling that I can't, that I'm not, I never will. We submit that feeling, we release it to the truth of God's word, because God's word says that you can. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you've got to relax so that you can release that limitation. Because how about superior perfection? Come on, that you're living for that superior perfection in your life. Come on, you want your marriage to be perfect. You want your kids to act perfect. You want your business to be perfect. You know what you got to do? You've got to relax so that you can release that illusion. Come on, can I just speak straight to you right now? Perfection is an illusion. Perfection is an illusion. I know that, because this is a standard that I have gone after. This is something that I have struggled with, always wanting for things to be perfect. Perfection is an illusion, and you've got to relax so that you can release that illusion. How do you do that? You submit that pursuit of perfection, you submit that to the truth of God's word. And God's word says this. God's word says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength will be proven in your weakness. My strength will be found in your weakness. My strength will be perfected in your weakness. And so what do? We relax and we release this illusion of perfection, and we submit it to the truth of the word of God. And we say, God, I believe that your grace is sufficient for my life. And in my weakness, in my imperfection, I will find your strength and I will find your wholeness in my life. Now, let's move to some external frustrations. Those are the internal. Now, what about the external frustrations? Let's talk about people for a moment. Let's talk about people, because as we said earlier, people are going to disappoint you. People are going to discourage you. People are going to reject you. People are going to offend you. People are going to take advantage of you. People are going to hurt you. So what do we have to do? We have to release. We have to release people, and we have to release the pain that they have caused in our life. But listen, if we are holding so tightly, if we can't relax, we're saying, I can't believe that they did that to me. I can't believe they treated me this way. I can't believe that and I'm hanging on. No. I've got to relax. I've got to relax so I can diminish the force of that squeeze. I've got to relax so that I can release them to God. This is what the scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Well, don't you know, first of all, can we just take a time out right now and say, don't you know that you have faults? Come on, don't you want other people to make allowances for your faults? So the scripture says, hey, life is going to be better for you when you make allowance for other people's faults. So make an allowance for others' faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Come on, forgive the person who offended you. Forgive the person who wronged you. Forgive the person who rejected you. Forgive the person who lied to you. Forgive the person who mistreated you. We have to forgive them. And the scripture says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Come on, let me tell you, forgiveness is not about who that other person is or what that other person did. No, forgiveness is all about who you are and who you want to be and what you want to do in the future. Because if you don't release and you hold on to that offense, you hold on to that bitterness, you hold on to that resentment, you hold on to that unforgiveness, if you hold on to it, it's not them that's going to be destroyed, it's you that is going to be destroyed. So we've got to say, man, I'm not going to live my life in frustration. I can't believe they did that. I hope they did. No, we can't live that way. No. We've got to relax so that we can release people and so that we can release even the pain that they caused in our lives. We have to release that to God. And it takes us to the very last thing that we have to do. So whenever we feel that frustration, we got to recognize it. Got to be aware it's there. We've got to relax. We got to diminish the force of that. We got to do something to get us out of that mindset. We got to relax. Then we got to be willing to release those limitations, release those illusions. We got to be willing to release those transgressions. We got to be able to release those things. Now, let me give you the third thing that you need to do after you recognize frustration, and that is redo. After you recognize frustration, you need a redo. Come on, now, there are two definitions that I want to give you. The first definition for redo is this: to do again or repeat. To do again or repeat. You see, you recognize, you relax, you release, and then you redo. You don't get good at dealing with stress because you have new information. You get good at dealing with stress through repetition. You don't get good just because you have some new instruction. You get good through repetition. It takes practice for it to become your pattern. You see, you got to redo and redo and repeat because for so long, stress and frustration came out in your life in ways that probably wasn't good. Fits of rage, anger, irritation. It came out in a way that you don't want it to come out in anymore. And listen, that's not just going to change overnight. It's not going to change because you heard a sermon about it. It's not going to change just because you read a book about it. No, you are going to have to practice if you want to see a new pattern. And that's going to require you to constantly be repeating and redoing. But now I told you there were two definitions. Here's the second definition of the word redo. It is to revise or reconstruct. To revise or reconstruct. So one of the most helpful things that I have ever done in my life to change and transform a behavior is to revise a behavior on the spot. To just be willing to say, hey, I need a redo. I want to say that again differently. And I do this with my spouse. I do this with my kids all the time. I will actually call my kids back if I didn't respond the right way, if I had the wrong attitude, if something came out that I didn't like, I will call my kids back and I'll make them stand in the exact same place that they were standing. And I will say, okay, say what you said to me again, and they will say it back to me. And then I will revise my story. I will reconstruct my attitude and I will respond in the way that I want to respond. You see, just because you didn't get it right doesn't mean that you can't make it right. Come on, I will say that again. Just because you didn't get it right doesn't mean that you can't make it right. So what? You didn't get it right in the moment. Recreate the moment and get it right. Revise, reconstruct that moment. This has been like one of the secret sauces of my life. This has been one of the keys that I've found to transformation. This has helped me so much. Be willing to call a redo. Come on, I remember being out there, you know, on the basketball court, you know, when I was young, playing by myself out there, right? You know, it's like the time's ticking down, you know, 5, 4, you're down by 1 point, you know, oh, he's driving the lane, he shoots, you know, and like bang, bricks off the rim and you miss the shot. Like, no, you're not going to lose, right? So you're like, oh, it's a redo. Oh, he was fouled, right? I need a redo. Come on, this is what we need to do in real life. Just say, man, I need a redo. I need to try that again. Can I revise it? Because I am trying to train myself to say, you know what? The way that stress and frustration used to come out in your life is not the way it's going to come out anymore. Nope, I'm going to revise it. I'm going to reconstruct it. And you see, I will say redo until I see something new. I will say redo until I see something new. I will say redo as many times as I need to until I begin to see something new in my life, because I don't want stress and frustration to be a negative. I don't want it to keep coming out. I don't want it to keep oozing out of my life and hurting people around me. I don't want that. No, I've got to learn, how do I handle it? I'm telling you right now, you can handle it. You can handle the stress and you can handle the frustration because you're going to learn how to relax. You're going to learn how to release, and you're going to learn how to ask for a redo. So you can handle it. You can handle the stress. And listen, if you don't handle the stress, it will take a hold on you. If you don't learn how to handle your frustration, your frustration will take a hold on you. And listen, we can't let it take a hold on us. No, we got to get our hands on frustration. We got to get our hands on stress. And we got to say, you know what? I can handle it. I can overcome this challenge by managing my emotions, by managing my mindset, by managing my actions. I can handle it. And you need to know that you can handle it. No matter how tough it might be, no matter how many years you've been living in frustration, no matter how many years you've been living in anger, no matter how much stress used to have a hold on your life, I'm here to tell you today that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of you. And come on, if Jesus got up out of the grave, you can get up out of this habit of stress and frustration, creating negative things in your life. Come on, you can handle it because the strength of Christ is operating on the inside of you. Stress doesn't have a hold on you. Come on, you're getting some handles for your stress right now. So what we're doing, we're learning how do we handle it? How do we handle it? Because you can handle it. I can handle it, but how am I going to handle it? That's why we're bringing these practical handles to you. You got to recognize it. Are there some areas in your life right now where you are experiencing frustration? Well, you got to recognize it. You got to call it for what it is. Listen, just labeling it something else doesn't make it go away. You got to call it for what it is. It's stress. It's frustration. I've got to be willing to recognize it. And you know what I've got to say? I've got to relax. What are you going to do to relax? You got to do something to relax. If you don't relax, you're going to let that tension and that strain keep your fist gripped so tightly that you're not going to be able to release what you need to release. You're going to be holding it. So what are you going to do to relax? You're going to breathe. You're going to stretch. You're going to take that walk. You're going to go play a round of golf. You're going to knit something. You're going to do, what are you going to do to relax? You got to do something to relax, to take your mind off of what your mind is on, so that you can see it for what it is, so that you can release it to God. And as you release it to God, you say, God, I need some redos. I need to put some things at repeat in my life. I need to be willing to ask for a redo with my family. I got to be able to ask for a redo with my coworkers. I got to be willing to ask for a redo, because I will ask for that redo until I begin to see something new in my life. Folks, you can handle. Come on, say it with me again. I can handle it. I know we're living in stressful times. I know you can feel that strain. I know you can feel that tension. I know you can feel that pressure. I know there are challenges. I know there are demands on your life right now. I know those things are there and you are feeling that in your life. I know that is there, but please hear me. You can handle it. Come on, if you believe it right now, type it in the chat. If you believe it right now, say it out loud. If you believe it right now, tell somebody who's sitting in that room with you right now, I can handle it. I can handle the stress. I can handle the frustration. I can handle what we are going through right now. I can handle it because I believe God and I believe the promises that are in His Word.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.